Do you want to feel happier? Do you want to feel more radiant and more alive? Or to go beyond alive and truly feel like you are thriving? That's what I'm here for. Helping you find that best you that you know is in there. It is. And you can start accessing that you today. It's possible. If you're ready for a shortcut to just that, let's work together. Reach out and let's work one-on-one to transform you and your life into happy, into thriving. Reach out to me and book a quick call. It's in the show notes, and let's get you there. Are you really committed and ready? Then let's do it. Personally, I'm the happiest I've ever been thanks to all the practices that I've made a part of my life. You can be too. It is here for you, I promise. You can also access my course, The Youthfulness Hack, which is all about feeling good and getting radiant and all the things I do concentrated in one spot. Go there today and use code AMY15 for 15% off right now, only for listeners of this show. And if you are truly ready to have accountability and live happy, book a call with me today. The world needs your best. You deserve your best.
Hello, and welcome to the Amy Edwards Show. I'm your host, Amy Edwards, and we are here to uplevel our lives through more efficient habits and mindset shifts and just get better all the time, because why not? I am getting better and better every day in every way. I'm paraphrasing Emile Coué, but you know what I mean. How are you today? I hope you are feeling good and feeling abundant. And if you're not, well, we're going to change that today. I guarantee it. First things first, real quick, if you haven't signed up for the newsletter, please do. It keeps you up to date on what's going on and the courses, and there's special discounts in there too from our sponsors and things like that. So you can sign up for everything at amyedwards.info. You can find the courses there too, Youthfulness Hack, and my free course, The Ageless Mindset. So, and plus, I just would love to connect with you. You can find me at Real Amy Edwards. Y'all know all the drill. It's all in the show notes too. So let's get to what we're talking about today, money. I got money on my mind in a pretty big way in my life. Because if you don't know, I had another job in radio for the Austin American Statesman, and they shut down their audio department last year. And so I lost a fairly significant source of income, and I've been working on creating more, right? Through my courses, things like that. And it's just been, I've just noticed that for me and Justin, it's been a huge focus this year. So I'm really excited to talk with some money masters and experts this year. And so we are about to do that today with Jen Kennedy. Jen, I'm so happy that you're here. You are an intuitive business and money mentor, and I can't wait to dive into what that means. And a business expander, correct?
Yeah.
Awesome. Jen Kennedy, welcome today.
Thank you.
I met you through your husband, Patrick.
Yes.
Who's wonderful. And through Hannah Eden.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's so cool how people come into your lives.
Always. Uh-huh. Austin has a way of doing that, doesn't it?
How long have you been here?
Almost 2 years.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yep. Okay. How is it treating you so far?
We love it.
I
bought a house, so, you know, that means a lot.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm wanting to buy a house right now. So
yes.
How has that process been for you? Has it felt like
it was so good.
Intuitive and blessed and all the things?
Yeah. Or? Well, it's interesting, right? Because we bought it about a year ago. We're coming up in about a year in the house. And we can have, when we're living with a spouse, right, mm-hmm. my husband, there's two different energies and there's two different processes, right? And there's two different ways and experiences of buying a house. So my experience was very much how it always is, which is we're supported and whatever it is that we desire is always going to come to us. It just has to.
Sounds right.
It just has to.
Yeah.
And my husband has a little bit of a different approach, a little bit more of a masculine approach, right? Mm-hmm. Where it was, there's this house. Okay, I want it. We've got to do this. We've got to get it ready. And it was a very different energy. And so the process, I mean, it was an awakening within our relationship and an upgrade within our relationship, because it was a lot of stress on his end. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of laid back, calm. I trust that the right home's going to come to us on our end.
Yeah.
And you know, the markets can slow down, mm-hmm. you know, here in Austin. But at the time
a year ago, no.
Oh, it was in the peak of.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. And I trust our realtor, right? I trusted him. That's why we worked with him. And there were a couple houses that we put offers on and I didn't get accepted, right? Or we got to do it by, you know, Sunday at 12.
I've done it. I've bought three houses in Austin over the years.
And so it can be a lot of that. And
oh, yeah.
I just said the right house will always come to us. And actually the home that we ended up buying was in the neighborhood that we were living in at the time, which is north out kind of in the Lakeway area up there. And I said, we have this feeling that we want our home. We want it to be, you know, expansive. We want it to be welcoming. We want it to feel like a portal and a vortex when you walk in. We want to fill it with love and community and joy. Mm-hmm. There has to be extra bedrooms for our family to come because our family's in Michigan. I'm like, and then this is just has to be it. So our realtor called us one day and said, there's a home in our neighborhood and it hasn't hit the market yet. And it sounds like it's everything that you're looking for. So we go to the house, brand new build, never been on the market. Weren't putting it on until like the Monday and it was like Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And we looked at it. It's on about an acre. It's got the beautiful like rolling. You can't see neighbors. Like it's exactly what I was feeling into.
Wow.
And he says, if you put an offer in, the builder says he'll take a look at the offer and he'll look at your offer before he decides to put it on market. And so we put an offer in and he never even put it on the market and accepted it and went back and forth with some logistics. And I looked at my husband and I was like, that's how it can be. Can you now see the proof that this is how it can be?
What so did he say?
He was like, eh, you're like,
maybe.
Yeah.
We got lucky.
This is the exception to the rule. I'm like, no, it's the rule itself. So for me, it was beautiful. It was fun. And everything worked out divinely. It was like we signed it. We had 4 weeks to move out of our rental and into the house. And the rental was fully furnished. So we had to get all of our furniture and it just was a beautiful process.
Did you write down those things that you wanted, like consciously, like the thing when you say we wanted it to be a vortex, we wanted like, were those things that you wrote?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
But honestly, I'm more of a verbal and a feeler versus a writer.
I kind of am too.
You know,
uh-huh.
Like when some people told me a long time, like you have to journal. It took me a really hard, a long and a hard road to actually commit myself to journaling.
Yeah.
Because for me, I'm a feeler. And I speak and I verbally express. And so writing just felt like I was cutting out that really important part of manifestation and of just creating our own reality.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
And I think that's important for people to hear. Like,
yes.
There's no one way.
No.
Just calm down.
Yeah, literally. But we want it so badly.
Everybody. Yeah.
Right?
Right. So tell me how.
Literally.
That's what I felt like today. I was like, tell me how.
Yes.
Tell me how. Give me the checklist. Like I can just do it.
Give me the rule book.
Right.
We want it so badly that it's like, well, she has it. She's made it, you know, whatever it is. And so how did she do it?
Yeah.
But the secret is you can learn how other people do it, but learn the core foundation of why it worked for them. And then look at that core foundation. Okay. With this core foundation, these universal truths, how does this now work for me? But there's got to be a lot of personal power that we have the ability and that we're not just doing it the way that somebody else did it because it worked for them. But we have the ability because we're us. And manifestation it's literally our birthright. It's like truly the way that our universe is designed. It's all of our birthrights, but we have to unlock that right within us because there's so many stories and lies and bullshit.
There really is.
That's making us think that it's not our birthright. That makes us think that this is a crazy phenomena and that I don't have the ability to, but we all do because we're all beings in a human body.
Well, sometimes I get caught up in like, especially with money, right?
Yes.
Like, cause I feel like the rest of my life just feels really, really good. And then I'm like, okay, how can I apply what I've done here to the money situation?
Yes.
And then, you know, I look around and I'm like, okay, I start to go, what am I doing wrong?
Uh-huh.
And one time I heard Peter Crone on Aubrey Marcus and he, at the end, Aubrey was like, but I feel like I need to do more or something like that. And Peter was like, if you're asking that question, then you're automatically setting yourself up not doing
literally
more.
Literally.
And so if I'm saying like, what am I doing wrong?
Yes.
Then I'm like saying doing wrong, like you know, whatever.
Well, your focus is on I'm wrong.
I'm
your
wrong.
Your focus is
right.
on
right.
I don't know.
Yes.
The focus is on lack.
Right.
And
as in I'm lacking the answer.
Yes.
As in I'm lacking like.
Yes. Or I don't have the ability.
I believe I have the ability, but it's almost like, okay, clearly I'm not doing it right. You know, like,
for
and so
sure.
then I'm calling that in or something
for
like
sure.
that. Is this stuff that you're teaching?
Oh, this is
okay.
like my jam.
Okay, great. Great. Let's do this.
Of course
so
we
excited.
Landed here. But money is, I think, the most difficult thing. When 4 different times I continued to get the message in a 4-month span of time, And before that, so much of my work was rooted in money. And the message kept saying, you have to do money work. You have to do money work. And I fought it.
I was wondering about your background.
Oh,
and like, what caused it?
I fought it. Like, you know how like you're like asking for a message and then it's there and you're like, no, not that message.
You're like, okay, well, that one's, but what's the real message?
Yeah, but that's not it. You know, like yes, we have a choice, you know? Mm-hmm. And it kept coming up. And I stopped and I fought it. And I finally sat there with one of my good friends and I'm like, I don't want to do money work. And she's like, well, why? And I'm like, there's so much darkness with money.
Yeah.
There's so much shit with money. There's so much money has such a hold on so many people. And it's one of those things that we have so much wounding and so much conditioning and so much fear and so much scarcity. And some, and I'm like, listen, I just like to have a good time. I don't want to deal with all this shame and this shit. Can we just do something fun? And it's like, no. And you know, it's no different than people who do sacred sexuality work and trauma-informed work, right? It's like, God, there's so much darkness. Mm-hmm. But then I sat there and I realized the only way to the light is through darkness.
Right.
Right? The only way to peace and freedom.
Well, it's not going to go away just because we don't face it.
Oh, 100%. Which was my whole childhood pattern by
really?
Both of my parents.
Okay, tell
out
me.
Out of sight, out of mind.
About money or
about
everything?
Anything.
Okay.
You know, if we don't admit that there's a problem, there's no problem, right? And
right.
What do we do when we ignore something or neglect something? It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And so often we're neglecting or ignoring these things with money because they feel so big and scary.
Oh, I've done it a zillion times.
Right.
Yeah.
But what is it? Neglecting it only makes it worse.
Well, it not only makes it worse, I know it's there. You know, mm-hmm. And it's like a lower level underlying stress.
Yep.
That's just, it's just there. Mm-hmm. And then I get it out and do it. Like, let's say my taxes.
Yeah.
Because I tend to put those off. And then, and I have an accountant.
Like
I'm not
April
like
15th,
filling out the fucking 1040 by myself or some shit. I don't even know if that's the right formula.
Yeah.
And I've had an accountant for like my whole adult life.
Yeah.
My whole life. And so I'm not really doing that much. I'm just organizing it. And I still will put that off. And it just bothers me. And then I go do it. And it takes like literally like maybe tops 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It tops.
Yes.
I'm thinking an hour maybe.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, God dang it. Why
did I do
that?
Yeah. Because we have this feeling like money is outside of us. Like it's out of our control. And we have this shame of it. I should be making more. I should be doing more. Right. And all of this is so rooted from our past because nobody sat us down when we were, heaven forbid, 5 years old and said, honey, you're powerful. You know exactly what to do with money. You can trust yourself with money. Money is an infinite resource and it's in abundance and it's going to flow into your world. Like you can trust yourself. You are safe. You are a safe place for money to be. Nobody does this.
I've been unpacking this exact thing.
Yeah.
Like thinking about my whole life. And I realized that I have a story that I'm expensive. I'm too expensive.
Yeah.
Like
you're too much.
Like if you want something or, you know, or then each of my husbands, like I've just been made to, I don't know if I've been made to feel mm-hmm. or I've adopted that story or what, mm-hmm. but you know.
Yeah. Well, you're too much. And mm-hmm. then the other part of that is that you should feel shame that you like, are you really worthy of being able to have nice things?
Do you need that? Do you need your hair
that,
done like that?
Right. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. do you really need that? You look fine. Complacency. Right. And then but here's the thing is that our soul is the ever evolving, is the ever expanding. Right. Our soul came here to grow and evolve and expand. And I believe to live the most beautiful human experience.
Yeah.
Now we came here to learn a lot of lessons and heal a lot of stuff. And there's a lot of darkness in that. But why do we do all of this so that we can experience the love and the happiness and the freedom and the abundance on the other side?
Right.
So our soul's the one that's like, well, this would be cool to add to my human experience. Like, yeah, I want this purse. I want this car. I want this. Like, of course I do. Right. And that's our soul's desires.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Our soul's the one that implants our highest self, the one that implants the dreams and the excitement. And then our human's the one that's like, bitch, who do you think you are?
Yeah.
You know, like you can, what do you mean you want a $1 million home? What do you mean you want to have this car or you want to drive this or what? Like are humans the one that is encoded with stories from our past, from our lineage, from our, God, from being in the womb, from both of our parents, from our grandparents, from society
mm-hmm.
that is then making these stories of, oh God, I think I'm too much. Or I don't really know if I can have that. Or I don't really know if I'm worthy of making that amount of money. I don't know if I can trust myself with that amount of money.
Yeah.
And it's just this ever-evolving game of what is truth and what are lies and stories that I've been told. And we have so many lies and stories that we've been told around money because we never sat down to
like
do this
the five-year-old
work.
Thing that you were
yeah,
talking about.
100%. And so we start to look at these stories that mom and dad told us. Money doesn't grow on trees, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Which is so complex in and of itself, right? It's like, what do you think?
Well, that, it is made of paper.
I always was so
but
confused.
But it is digital.
Yeah. And it's like, so is it real? Is. Right? It's like, not really.
Yeah.
It creates these illusions, right? And even the money doesn't grow on trees. When were you told that as a little kid?
I mean, as far back as I can remember.
Right when you wanted something cool.
Yeah.
You know, like I always wanted one of those Jeeps that just drove themselves oh, that all yeah. the neighbors had, you know? Like I wanted one. It was probably like $300 at the time, right? When I was a kid. My parents didn't have money. My mom was a single mom that raised us kids, and my dad didn't pay child support for a long time. Mm-hmm. He wasn't ready to be a dad. He had his own addictions that stopped him from being able to be the dad that he wanted to be.
How many kids were there?
Me and my brother.
Okay.
Yeah, I was the oldest. My brother's 18 months younger.
Okay, so from the get-go, you're like...
From the get-go.
Stories.
Like, oh my like... gosh, I want a cool Jeep. Jenna, yeah. What do you think? Money grows on trees?
Yeah.
And so then there's this feeling of, well, the things that I really want, just because it would be fun, I can't have because money is something outside of us. Money is something that we just don't have the luxury of having. You know, mm-hmm. I was told a lot... You're married into wealth, you're married into money, or you're born into it. Mm-hmm. And so we weren't born into it, and you've got all these crazy things that you want to do, so you better marry rich.
Yeah.
Which, what did that reinforce? I came into this world not having the ability to have what I want, and if I want that ability, I have to find a man to give it to me.
Right.
So then what does that reinforce within women? We don't have the ability to make the money, or we can't be trusted with the money. That's why...
I have both those stories.
Right. We have so many mm-hmm. of these. There's mm-hmm. and there's so and you know this from healing work is that when it becomes a story, it's a belief system in our subconscious mind, mm-hmm. which means it is hidden and it is making itself a nice little cozy ass home in our body.
Right.
And so when we go to do the taxes, we have this irrational, illogical, you're like, it'll take me 2 hours and it's not even that bad. Right.
Right.
It's this stuckness in our body that's literally causing anxiety, fear. People get depressed around money.
Oh my God. You know, yes.
So many of these emotions.
Absolutely.
And you're like, Amy.
People fight. I mean, it's a lot of
divorce.
Lot of unpleasant emotions. I've been divorced twice. Very expensive for me.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so often the fight against money is what causes this disconnect and this divorce ends up happening.
Money was definitely part of the reason mm-hmm. for both divorces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was the man in charge of the money?
Nope.
You
always
were.
Me.
Yeah.
Always me. And it's weird because it's like, I want someone else to be in charge, but at the same time, I don't want to not be in charge. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm very used to it. And my dad he had two daughters and he was conflicted in what he taught us. Mm. And I don't know how much you want to know about my background, but
all of it.
Oh, okay, great. So my dad had two daughters and he was raised like in the 50s. He was born in 1936. My parents were older. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted us to be independent,
yeah.
but at the same time, he wanted us fully set up. Mm. And at the same time, he wanted us to find a good husband. Mm-hmm. So I got conflicting messages yeah. and it was like, but I think he was just conflicted.
For
like
sure.
He didn't know how to make sense of that. And my mom didn't work. So I didn't see my mom. She pursued creative endeavors, but mm-hmm. she didn't earn her own income. Mm-hmm. And so it was a little confusing. And plus, I was the youngest and I was mm-hmm. cute. And so I think the reason I use my voice is I wasn't heard a lot. And so I've got like issues that I've unpacked there.
Of course.
And so so the money, then I always had my own income from things my father had set up. Mm. So working wise, I had a lot of options. I could kind of do what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I owned my own clothing store and things like that. But I mean, like I funded them. I did, but it was like money I had.
For sure.
And so my husband's, it was weird. It was like one of my friends said, I think you make it too easy for them or something. Mm. Like toward the end of our marriages, I'm sorry guys, but they weren't working. And it was like, I was just doing literally everything I felt like. And I was like, I don't understand what's happening here. Like, yeah. But the money wasn't really, I've never felt like it was like something that I earned.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Even though I've had, like, I opened this up talking about income, but those income streams that I've earned myself have never been enough to fully support me.
For sure.
Like, you know, I want to build this show into the fucking $60 million Spotify deal, yeah. But it's not right now.
Yeah.
But like, then I get hung up on like, do I have to earn it? Or can I just trust that the universe is just going to supply me, you
right.
know? And anyway, it's been a real road. And now like my parents have passed away, so I did inherit money, but then I had expensive divorce. I've had mm-hmm. stuff. So mm-hmm. I have some assets, but liquid, I'm like, oof.
Yeah.
So that's yeah. what I'm working at right now. And for Justin sure. too. And he's got his own stories from yeah. his parents, his dad mainly. And
always.
Yeah.
It's so, fun when you do the money work and you've got your spouse and you're like, and
yeah.
here we go again.
And here we go. And so we're both having to like look at those things together, which yeah. is really good. But even then he gets in a mindset of like, where can we cut? And I'm like, yep. Why are we looking at what we can cut?
For sure.
Where can we grow?
Yes. Yes.
And
yes.
so that's essentially, I think you get the gist of yeah. like my
yeah.
picture.
Well, it's so common, right? Because if you look at the common theme, it was that your family, right? Whether it's dad or mom, your family was like, I want to make sure that you're safe and secure.
Right.
Right. I want to make sure that you always have this. And so what that allowed you to do was almost plant those roots of safety, right? Mm-hmm. Like our deep rooted foundation, our sacral, like plant those into somebody else's soil, right? It's like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm safe because I trust that my dad's got me.
The good part of it though, on the flip side of that, it wasn't even that my dad's got me, but it was just like, things always work out.
For
like,
sure.
So I've definitely got that one down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's been good because yes. I've noticed like, you know, I've had times where I'm like, oh my God, is it going to work out? But then a little part of me is like, it always works out.
For sure.
So I've got like a sort of foundation of some faith.
Yep.
So
you've got the
good.
Safety down.
Yeah,
I think.
But it's like the incoming stuff does feel outside of me. So how do yeah. we overcome that?
Yeah,
There's a question.
Yes. So it's like you've got the safety, which so many people don't even have the safety.
I know.
Yes. Like the root, which is the bottom of it all. So many people don't even have that.
I mean, did you?
No.
Exactly.
God, no. Because I could never, growing up, I remember I got two jobs a day. I turned 14 the day that I could work. I was a telemarketer
oh, wow.
and then I babysat. Oh. Why I was a telemarketer? I was like selling mortgages and I didn't even know what a mortgage was. But
holy
shit.
They
just needed people to call people like go through.
Little do they
I
know
got
they're
fired.
Like,
you got fired. Okay, of course. They're like, this 14-year-old doesn't even know what a mortgage is. Why the hell is she working
I was
going to
be impressed if people were like, here's my social. And you're like, yeah. you know.
No, I was... I'm a good talker, so I think that's probably kept me there longer than I should
you're
have
good
been
at,
there.
You're engaging.
Yes. I was like, what you doing today? You know, back when people had house phones. So I did that, right? But I remember as a kid wanting to go to the store and like get candy, right? Just wanting to go get something for myself. Mm-hmm. And I remember asking my mom, I want $5.
Can I have a dollar, yeah.
And I remember, she didn't need to say anything. She would always, if she had $5, she'd give it to us. But I could sense the feeling of, ooh, right? And in that, as a little girl, was like, I can't, not necessarily trust, but count on that yeah. my parents have got me, right? I had to pay, get student loans and go through college myself and worked, you know, two jobs all through high school. Then I worked at a pizzeria. And then I always babysat, right? And even all through college, even though I had my student loans, I was always working and waitressing and babysitting.
What'd you study?
Teaching. I was a teacher for 8 years.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it was this,
That seems like a good background. You're right? teaching right now. Yeah.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
But I didn't have that. So I had to rely on myself. But then I, within this safety, I created the story that I had to sacrifice myself, right? Mm-hmm. That I had to go do more and work more. And even when I was a teacher, I taught as I was in grad school and I was tutoring anywhere from 12 to 20 hours a week because mm-hmm. I was making $36,000 as a teacher and I had all these student loans. And then I also wanted to become a principal. And I was like, well, I need to make this work. So I need to go tutor for cash and then with that cash pay for my grad school. Because mm-hmm. I could never call on my parents and say, hey, I need
right.
$100. I need to fix my car. I need gas.
Right.
Right. I was living with my dad in my early 20s, my first year as a teacher. And I had maxed out all my credit cards because I didn't understand what a credit card was. I mm-hmm. thought credit cards were like a gift that you could just spend all this money that I didn't even know what interest rates were. It wasn't until my boyfriend at the time sat me down and were like,
okay,
do you know what you're doing? You're paying like thousands of dollars in interest. I'm like, I don't even know what that means. I'd be like, this percent APR. No clue what it was. No one sat me down to say like, this is what a credit card is. Right. And I later realized my parents didn't have credit cards because they didn't trust themselves with credit cards. So mm-hmm. they just had their debit cards and mm-hmm. just lived paycheck to paycheck. And so there was this feeling of, I was driving to work one day and my gas light came on and it was the middle of the winter in the Midwest, which my mom always told me, you never have half a tank in your gas in the winter because it can freeze. And
is that true?
I don't really, it never happened. I
heard that. Okay.
My mom might make things up.
Okay. I don't know. That's pretty scary.
It doesn't get that cold in Michigan. We're not like in Antarctica, you know? You're like, I'm lived here. I know. We don't do that here.
But still, yeah. Okay. Anyway, you're safe. Anyway, sidebar. Okay.
But my gas light came on and I had maxed out credit cards and I had the $5 in my bank account that the bank makes you have in your mm-hmm. account. And I was like, I literally have no ability to fill up my gas tank. And I'm 23 years old.
What'd you do?
I went home and found quarters and coins all around the house and put like $2.50 in the gas tank so that I could, the next day was payday. And then mm-hmm. the next day I got paid and I could fill up my gas tank. And so it was like this feeling of safety. Like I couldn't trust myself. I couldn't trust people that I loved. And it was just like this feeling like I had no safety.
Wow.
Until I started to learn how to develop my own.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that you've got the safety is...
I think I do. I don't know. Maybe I don't. You know,
like, you do. I you said I did. You're self-aware. You know.
I think I do.
Don't listen to my story and then be like, maybe I'm not safe.
Are you ready to up-level your pleasure practice? I have in mind, and the main things that have helped me are the tools that I've found from Wands. Wands creates luxurious products that encourage us all to honor our body, celebrate our sexuality, and live in pleasure. With more pleasure all the time. One of my favorites, if you listen to this show, then you probably already know, is the cervix wand. Wands has trademarked their number one best-selling glass pleasure wand. It's for vaginal and anal de-armoring, and it's designed for cervical and G-spot stimulation. And let me tell you, it's incredible. It's helped thousands of women become more connected to their bodies and their pleasure, and supports them to heal pelvic pain through self-yoni massage, and helps awaken more pleasure. Just recently, I've ordered the Venus wand, another trademarked wand from Wands, and it's designed to activate and awaken the G-spot and more. Also, don't miss one of their new offerings, which are free bleed blankets that can be used as waterproof intimacy blankets. They have a beautiful selection now available. But take a look around at wands.com, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, because they have a huge selection of incredible items like yoni eggs, crystal pleasure wands in amethyst, black obsidian, anything that your heart desires, and so much more. Check them out at wands.com. That's W-A-A-N-D-S.com. And use my link in the show notes to get 10% off or simply enter my code, Amy Edwards, at checkout. Again, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, wands.com. Y'all, I have started using higher dose products and I am such a fan. You know, I don't put anything on this podcast that I am not 100% completely behind. And I have a special discount code for you for all higher dose products. I'm so excited. If you don't know, Higher Dose is a wellness company. They have wellness tech products, they have tools, they have supplements, and they have body care. They have so many things that are hot right now too, that are really biohacking and up-leveling our lives at home, which is really cool. They have an infrared sauna blanket. They have an infrared PEMF mat that I'm so excited to be sharing about soon. One of my favorites though is the red light face mask. It stimulates collagen, it activates glowing skin, reduces fine lines, regenerates cells. And it's soft. It's not like one of the hard plastic ones. So you can kind of move it around on your body, which I've been doing. And I am seeing amazing results. I am absolutely addicted to it. I use it every single night. And I'm using it in conjunction with one of their other products, the Glow Serum. And I'm very picky about what I put on my skin. And I am loving the Glow Serum. It's specially formulated to plump and hydrate and stimulate radiant skin, which that's the goal. They have a ton of other products too. Magnesium ingestibles, magnesium body care, which has a healing oil and a serotonin soap that you can use in your bath, which I've been using too. It boosts your mood, enhances your skin, and deepens your detox, gets you calmed down. Anyway, I'm a fan, so I'm so excited to offer you 15% off using my code MAGIC15. Go to the show notes. You can click through on the link right there, or if you go to Higher Dose, just enter the code MAGIC15 and you'll get 15% off. Higher Dose has been featured in Goop, Glamour, Elle, Vogue, Bazaar, Allure, basically you name it. And there's a reason why. So go check it out. It's at higherdose.com and enter my code MAGIC15 for 15% off.
I think that my story is like, it's just like what you just said, like, oh, I guess I need to do more.
Mm-hmm.
And like what I was saying that Aubrey had that question, like, yep. I should be doing more. Mm-hmm. Well, if you think you should, then you should. Yeah. Then the universe is going to be like, okay, fine, do more, you know, or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Am I right? Am I on a path? What do you think? Well, so you had that mindset, like, let me do more. So what do we do about that?
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Mm-hmm. So the reality is that we're living in two worlds in this world, right? There's literally two realities that happen. There's what I love to call the old paradigm and the new paradigm. You can call it the old earth, the new earth. Doesn't matter what the hell we call it. Put a label on it. It's different.
Okay.
Right. There's the way that society has set up money, mm-hmm. which is very corporate America, which is very trade your time for money, which is, and for some reason that became even a thing, right? Of like, the more time that you have, the more money that you make. But if you really think about it, that was just these corporate owners of these corporate facilities that were like, okay, I need people to work for me. And what do they value enough that they can work for me? Money. So mm-hmm. we're going to start this hourly wage thing. Mm-hmm. And it was literally created as a structure in our system. And it's not really true that the more that you work, the more money that you make.
No.
We see so many things that break that, right?
Yeah.
So many
different... Well, my dad already taught me, like, from the get-go, one of the things he said was make your money work for you.
Yep, which is very much looking at a different way of money. Mm-hmm. And even as an entrepreneur, right? It's like we all know that there have been probably seasons in our life that we've worked really, really, really hard and worked, you know, stayed up all night editing, doing all the things, and then you might have made the least amount of money at that time. And you're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I thought I busted my ass and I got great work ethic. So like, what am I missing
what
here?
Gives? Yeah.
Right. Because when we say yes to the world of entrepreneurship, we're saying yes to doing money differently.
Okay.
And then this is the simultaneous reality that's living within this other reality, the mm-hmm. constructs of corporate America career, which we all hold as programs and conditions within us. So when we become entrepreneurs, it's a completely different game, which it comes down to the more people that I help, the depth that I help people, mm-hmm. the stronger of a leader that I am, the more money that I make. And it's completely counterintuitive to doing more. It's actually going deeper, being more aligned, more heart-centered, more soul-led within our work. And the more that we do that, the more successful that we can become. Now with this though, with this paradigm, we call it, with money, if we have these stories and these lies and this conditioning and this coding within our mind, within our body, within our being, then that's not going to be true for us. Mm-hmm. That the more people that I help, the more money that I make, because we literally have these blocks that are stopping money from coming in. The number one law that we all know works all the time is the law of attraction, right? We're mm-hmm. constantly magnetizing things into our lives, whether we consciously are aware of it or not. Mm-hmm. So often we're doing these things that should be bringing money in, but it's like, well, why the hell am I not making money? I've got thousands of lists, you know, views. I've got this many followers. I've got all of these courses, all of these programs. What am I doing? What are the stories within me that are actually blocking money from being able to come into my life?
Okay.
And it's like an energetic block, right? And you think mm-hmm. about, you know, if it was raining right now and it was coming down, we would have an umbrella to block the rain.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we have in our energetic field that blocks money from coming, being able to come into our life. And these blocks are, I can't trust myself. I don't have what it takes. You know, I need to be doing more. I need to be seen by more people. You know, I need to be more powerful, whatever it is. And it's literally creating these blocks because money is an energy mm-hmm. and we have the ability to attract the energy into our lives. But we've got to make sure that we're actually consciously and subconsciously attracting and not repelling or not keeping us where it is that we're at. Because every single thing that we're doing, we're either attracting things, we're repelling, or we're keeping us exactly where it is that we're at.
Right.
So we've got to be aware of what within me, right? It's one of the first things I learned in my spiritual awakening, right? As above, so below, as within, so without, mm-hmm. right? And we know this Absolutely. To be true. And
I've seen it in other areas of my life, right? Plain as day.
Clear as day. So if we don't love what's without mm-hmm. the money, then what within us is causing that to be our reality.
Okay.
And so we get to go in and understand how we've been programmed, how we've been coded, how we've been conditioned. Mm-hmm. What are my belief systems about me and my ability? Who am I and my financial power? And start to dissect these things so that we can then create more abundance within, more feelings of freedom within, more feelings of richness within, so that we then can be the match for the money that it is that we desire.
Okay. What's the simplest way to get to that? Like, you know, because it can be confusing. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to like figure out all the stories, even listening, my mind wandered at least once and I was like, oh, but there's this or that. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
And so say it's confusing. You've got all these things and like, what's the simplest way to just do that? Because like, mm-hmm. let's translate it into dating speak.
Yeah.
If we're translating it into that, then we mm-hmm. would say like simply start a self-love practice and start mm-hmm. talking really kindly mm-hmm. to yourself. And for me, that completely worked.
Yep.
I just treated myself good and mm-hmm. started loving myself. And pretty soon it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then one of the things I did was I wrote out, I don't always write things out either, mm-hmm. but I wrote out the kind of partner I wanted. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote out, once I looked at it, I thought, gosh, he's sounds badass. He's with a badass babe. So I was like, I better become the babe.
Right.
Right. And so then I wrote that out and she was like super secure and, you know, knows her worth and her value and loves herself and isn't, you know, living in these, like it's really solid self-love. Yeah. So that's what I worked on.
Yep.
So then I was like, now translating it back to money, I was like, oh, okay, let me do this for money. And mm-hmm. I haven't given it the same level of attention, but I basically tried to make the same thing. This is what my life would look like. Yep. And then this is who I need to become. But it's just been a little more challenging. So I guess I'm asking like, what's the simplest way when we know mm-hmm. like in love, be it to see it. So
yeah. Well, it's the same concept with money.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Right. But then, okay. So like right attention. Now, right. The fact that you're like, but what? That's what I thought. But there's a part of me that's
like
thinking
I did it.
That's a bunch of bullshit. Right. So then it's like, what's the part of me that thinks it's a bunch of bullshit? Right. What's the part of me that's like, you're
the part that opens my bank account. That part.
The current reality.
Current reality.
Current reality.
Yep. I think that's probably, I think a lot of people might resonate.
Yep.
With that.
They're like, okay, mm-hmm. cool. I'll do all that. But like right now,
but
current
then,
reality.
But then I go like,
right. So with the dating. So the current reality, when we go through that, when you were going through that, was the current reality could have been, I'm broken. I've been divorced twice. I've got two kids.
Who's going to want me?
Who's going to want me?
I'm already 40, whatever I was
literally,
at that time. I was like 48.
Right? Like I feel 23, but I'm definitely not. Okay.
Yeah.
Right? I look 23, but I guess mm-hmm. I'm not. Right? So it's like there's all those stories. And so that, and those stories are hardwired belief systems and conditioning in your mind.
Okay.
Right? It's like habit. Mm-hmm. You wake up, what do you do first thing in the morning? You go pee, you brush your teeth, you get coffee, whatever it is, right? It's a habitual movements that we do. So those things, I'm too old, who's gonna love me? I've been divorced mm-hmm. twice, I've got a lot of baggage, right? I've got a lot of shit, I've got two kids. Those were hardwired belief systems.
Yeah, and you know what? They're so hardwired that I thought I had tackled them, but then when he went to rehab and I thought, I don't know where our relationship is, if it's going to stay.
Yeah.
They all came flooding
back.
And I'm, yeah, they were like, here
you thought I was
waiting
gone.
For you. And they were like, now you're turning 50, you're even older. And I was like, fuck, you know, I thought I was through this. And so I just had to dive back into my self-love and stuff. It was it was a practice.
100%.
For sure. Would you say that this stuff is a practice?
Oh, hunt. It has to be.
Okay, good.
It has. Well, it's like anything, right? If I want to lose 10 pounds, I have no desire to, but if I did, what would I do? Mm-hmm. I'd have to change a lot of different things. My relationship with food, I'd have to move my ass a little bit more. I'd probably have to go to the gym when my husband goes and not just tell mm-hmm. him, maybe I'll go tomorrow, right? I would have to probably eat healthier, couldn't have macaroons once a week. I would probably have to change some things on mm-hmm. many multi-dimensions, right? Mm-hmm. So similar with money. Right? We've got these belief systems. We've been walking that path for decades. Yeah. Whether we're consciously aware of it or not.
Everybody's got their own little trove of bullshit going on.
Literally, yeah. From our parents, from the womb, from our lineage, from so many different things, right? Like
from our lineage, that's a good one to point out too.
From our lineage. Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, we all probably had parents that went through the great, or grandparents that went through the Great Depression or something.
100%. And that's very real in our lineage, right? Yeah. We were very much present in the DNA of the womb when all of that was happening, mm-hmm. right? And women, the womb, you know, fear, sovereignty, power, safety, right? And for so long, women looked for that outside of us, outside of ourselves,
that's right.
in a man or in our family or whatever it is. And so we get to realize that this is, you're not broken. None of us are broken. We just have forgotten. And we've never been taught the truth. And okay. we're in this time, in this space, reality, this life, this go around. We're in this time to realize, wait a second, there's something different here. Mm-hmm. This is the way that it's always been, but it's not the way that I'm doing it anymore. And so although these belief systems of unworthiness, of too late, whatever it is, I got to work more, whatever it seems to be, although they're so real mm-hmm. because they're my reality, they're actually just illusions that are stopping me from living the abundance that I'm meant to live. And so we've got to start to bring those belief systems and those practices in. And I always think about this, okay, the snow, the freezing of the gas can didn't hit with you. So snow might not either, but
snow does.
Okay. Snow does. Sure. Yeah. So when my husband and I lived at our old house in Michigan, we would go to the park in the winter. We'd take the dog to the park and we would go up and there was a fence mm-hmm. and you could go left or right. And we would always go left, and we started to go left, and we started to make a trail in the snow, right? That
sure.
The grass started coming through, right? That's the belief systems that we've had with money our entire life. And at one point I said, this can't be good for the grass. And then I chose to go the other way. But every time that we would go up against the fence, I had to consciously choose, I'm going to go this way. Mm. And then what happened over the course of the next couple of weeks, this trail started getting all covered up with wind and more snow. And then this became my new trail. Mm-hmm. And so we can't do that without repetition. We can't do that without knowing that we're worthy of it. We can't do that without these new belief systems and these new practices and these new feelings. But we have to, and it does take time. And we know this, that belief systems drive our thoughts. It's like self-development 101,
right?
If you believe it, it drives your thoughts, it drives your actions, it drives your feelings, which all creates your reality. So we've got to go back and really, truly create these new belief systems and know that we are worthy and know that we can, know that we have the ability to. And if those, that little voice in your head's like, you're crazy, you've never done this before. I always say, find proof in something outside of you. Right. When you were going through the dating thing, you probably saw people who were in beautiful, happy relationships and found the love of their life at an older age. And you're like, well, wait, mm-hmm. if they can do it, I can do it.
Totally.
Right.
So I feel like I'm shown things all the time, too.
For sure.
If I'm willing to frame it in that way.
Always.
Instead of framing it in like a lack.
Yes.
Look at what they have and I don't.
For sure. Mm-hmm. They must know something that I don't. They must be.
That's a big one right there, I think.
Yeah.
Well, especially that was like what we started with. Like, tell them, what do you know that I don't?
For sure.
Already, I was already there.
Yes. What do you know that I don't know?
Yeah.
Right. And it's
tell
like,
me.
Oh, you figured something out. You do know something that I don't know. But instead of me feeling like lack, I'm going to sit down and have this conversation mm-hmm. and listen to what you know and then see how that can be true for me mm-hmm. and then incorporate that into my life. And so what you were saying earlier with the dating, you can do the same thing with money. Right. I want to be, you know, a millionaire, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Name it a dollar amount, right? Million is something that everyone's like, that'd be nice. Right?
Let's say 10. Let's say $10
million. Let's go 10 million.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's go 10.
So $10 million, mm-hmm. right? What would that feel like? What would that look like? What would life be like at $10 million a year?
No, I can feel that right away.
Right.
I have even had moments of like abundance where money, I was not worried about money.
Yeah.
And I've had the consciousness to say, memorize exactly how this feels.
Yes. Like anchor it.
Anchor it.
Yes.
Is that, that's yep. a good word for it.
Yeah. Like anchor. Mm-hmm. Like I always say like anchor it and like let this be encoded in my DNA. Like let this be encoded just in my everyday being mm-hmm. that I remember this feeling.
Yeah.
Right. Like just encode that.
I think there's something a little scary about that. It's like that leap of faith of just mm-hmm. like, yeah. How'd you get there?
How did I get there?
Yeah.
To encode?
To what we're talking about, to yeah. this level of like mm-hmm. everything that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Being it.
Well, I first had to recognize that my current reality that I was in wasn't my destiny. Mm-hmm. Right? Like my current reality was just my current reality. And I was there because I always did the best that I could with what I had. And I was just running on a program that made me be there. Right? If this is my current reality with money, I'm making $50,000 a year. Mm-hmm. Then that's because I am programmed to be a $50,000 a year woman. Mm-hmm. And it's my belief systems, my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, all of my relationship to money, my avoidance with money, my fear with money. Like that's why I was there. So if I wanted to have, let's say, six figure a year, which is mm-hmm. what I first wanted when I became an entrepreneur, I was like, hey, what would six figures a year look like? Mm-hmm. What would it feel like? What would it be like? How would I, in the world of entrepreneurship, our leadership is directly, it's very closely tied to the amount of money that we make. And so I'm like, well, what would it be to be a six-figure leader in the world? What right. type of things would I be talking about? What type of things would I know? What type of things would I have mastered myself? Hmm. And started to put myself into the energy and into the vibrations, but also into the leadership. Because with great money comes great responsibility. And we've seen this be completely taken the other way, where with great money is great power and great manipulation.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah, it can be either way.
100%, but with great money does come great power and it does become great responsibility. Mm-hmm. So instead of me being like, I want to have $1 million because I want to drive a cool car. It's like, yeah, that's a part of it. And I have that right to want to drive a cool car, mm-hmm. especially because I always chose my leases based on the lowest lease payment possible. That is a piece of it. But I also know that if I desire to become $1 million woman, then I have a big responsibility to be $1 million leader in this world. Mm-hmm. And so I've got a big responsibility of what am I learning? What am I evolving? What am I expanding into? How soul led am I, mm-hmm. right? Is my soul leading or is my ego leading? Because my ego leading, $1 million leader, that's a dangerous thing. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it over and over and over again in the world.
Right.
Right. And there's more damage that is done for the collective than good.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Even a six-figure leader, right? That's a title. Mm-hmm. That takes a big level of responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so are we doing the work to be truly soul-led and heart-centered to be able to be that type of leader, mm-hmm. right? And so when I'm going through this and I'm like, okay, $1 million a year leader, a seven-figure leader, it's like, okay, what does that leadership look like? What's the healing that's required? What's the 97 million ego deaths that I have to go to in order to really truly be soul-led and lead with my heart, mm-hmm. you know? And then it's, what are the ways that I want to help people?
Totally.
Right?
Because yeah.
I don't want to help people. I've been told by so many business coaches, well, do this 12-week program, do this. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. That doesn't sound fun.
Like what?
Like it doesn't sound fun to do a 12-week, for me personally, like mm-hmm. it doesn't sound good to like throw everything that I know into a 12-week program. Like I'm someone that wants to go deep with people mm-hmm. because I know that if we can shift the core of our being and we can shift the belief systems and we can shift who we are, we can change our reality. And I can't do that if I have a 50 people in a 12-week course. Yeah, 50 people in a 12-week course ran 4 times a year could make me $1 million. But that's not the depth of leadership that I want in this world. I don't want to just cycle through people on the internet. Mm-hmm. I want to create these programs and these experiences that have the ability to literally shift the consciousness and heal people. So then I'm looking at, well, then what type of revenue streams do I have? What type of offers do I have? Well, then what type of leader do I have to be on the internet that's going to allow people to make that connection with me to then come into my programs and change, mm-hmm. right? So it was like that embodiment of the $1 million woman, the $1 million, the $10 million woman, the $10 million leader, really always be going in and becoming dedicated and doing that work. But then also, what does that look like to lead in the world? And yeah. how do I then show up to lead in the world knowing that my leadership is going to have a strong correlation to how much money I'm able to make?
Have you had times where you got frustrated and felt
hit my head against the wall?
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, how do you reconcile that? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Because I know I have. Like, and as an adjacent to that, let's say, mm-hmm. what do you think of that phrase, you know, do what you love and the money will follow? Mm-hmm. So, because if you're really going from your soul, I think that I've been grappling with this a little bit. So, We'll get to the other part of that question in a minute. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and answer that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So the question was?
The question was, like, how do you reconcile those moments when you yeah. feel down?
Yes.
Yeah, because you are following what you believe is mm-hmm. your soul led. Like, mm-hmm. you got these messages. And so when you don't see it, I understand the concept of planting seeds and over it takes time. But then, you know, you hear these other things and they're like, you can, it can happen instantly, you know, whatever. And so you're like, I don't know. And so how did you get yourself out of those situations?
Yeah. Yep.
When you're like, and I know there's like, it's not manifesting fast enough, you know,
of
but
course, yes. Yeah, we're impatient little humans.
I am. That's been a whole thing for me.
Oh God. So, yeah. I want it now. The moment that I say it, I want it. Where is it at? Why isn't it here?
Well, how do you stay the course? I guess, you know?
Yes. Well, the number of times that I've hit my head against anything that I could and like crawled into a ball and I'm just like, feel lost and defeated is too many times to count.
Okay, great.
Right? Because this is a journey. And just like
you're not great, but you know what I mean. Like,
great, you've been miserable. I love this.
Me too. I guess, you know, that's what I like.
It's all sunshine and rainbows.
Then you feel like, okay.
Yes.
Here we are. Yes, great. Okay. Yes. She knows my plight.
Yes.
Like that.
Well, it's like the relationship. Right. So like he comes into your life, like knight in shining armor, blah, blah, blah. You get in your first fight and you're like, fuck, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. Right. Like,
I have to lean back hard into trust and faith and that practice. Right. Same. Is this the same?
God, yeah.
This is the same thing. Right.
Yeah. 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 Well, there's this surrender. Right. And it's like, if we're not getting the outcome, if we're not getting the instant thing that we want, right. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're getting lessons. We're either getting the thing, we're either existing at the frequency of the thing, and we're allowing it to come into our life. Mm-hmm. Or we have this thing and it's at this frequency, but we're existing at this frequency. And you better damn well believe that the universe is going to align to give you things and situations and bring things up and triggers and all of these things so that you can work through them. That's going to allow you to be able to exist at that frequency as your natural state. You didn't walk out of the house and say, all right, I'm putting my badass jacket on today because I'm going to the coffee shop and I might meet him. You embodied the badass you became your natural state of being.
Yes.
Right? It wasn't like this day I'm going to do it and this day I'm not. This day I'm going to do it, this day I'm not. Maybe in the beginning it started off as that, but like you literally had to be the embodiment of the match for your spouse.
Right.
Right? You had to be. Mm-hmm. And so this is what we get to do with the money game is like, okay, I'm feeling it one day, but then the next day I feel like I'm broken and that I'm lost. And it's like, okay, but what part of me is feeling this way? Okay, let me understand why this is. And then, yes, let me surrender and let me hand it over. And let me have trust and faith over fear, right?
Sometimes it's like too much caffeine.
Right?
I mean, sometimes it's like, what did I ingest? Right. Like, you know, like.
100%. Or, I slept like shit last night because I stayed up watching my.
Physical, I'm watching physical.
Right, yeah. Right. And like, of course, my circadian rhythm was off.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Duh. Mm-hmm. You know, that makes sense. And so it's like. What we get to do though is when we're coming up against these roadblocks is be the conscious observer of, well, this is happening right now, right? Just because we think a thought doesn't mean that it's true. Just because we feel an emotion doesn't mean that we're consumed by that emotion and that's us.
That's right.
So it's pause, come down, get back to center.
Is that what you would recognize? You just developed that awareness?
Yep.
And so you were like, hey.
Yes.
It's all right.
Yes.
Get some sleep, eat something healthy.
Yep.
Move your
talk sweet
to yourself. Yeah.
Snuggle with the dog, right?
Pet an
animal. Go talk to a friend of mine, right? Go. I've got my team, my squad. I always call them like my friends in my soul family that I'm like, I forgot today. I forgot who I was.
I like that.
Can you remind me? Like I've got two friends that they know. They know that if I message them, I forgot. They call me when they can. And
that is
like,
almost going to make me cry. Yeah. Like that is so sweet.
Yeah. And that's, because we do forget.
Yeah.
Because we get caught up in our shit. We get caught up in their current reality. We get caught up in the old illusions and the stories and the fears. Yeah. And it's like, can you just remind me? And there's something about like when your spouse reminds you, you're like, this is a bunch of bullshit. You're lying because you have to say this.
Right.
You know, but when you call your friend and you're like, dude, I like literally forgot. Hmm. Like, let me tell you. And then it's like, oh, you're right. Okay, let me. So that practice has allowed me to, I can hold the sadness and the fear and the wall and whatever I'm feeling, but I also can hold the desire at the same time, right? Like we can hold two simultaneous emotions at the same time.
I seem like I do.
Yeah. And so it's like when we're holding both of these, how can I just like ground, get conscious and say, okay, what are you here to teach me? Mm-hmm. What are you here to tell me? I'm not getting the outcomes that I want, but you are literally happening because you have a lesson for me. Okay, what's the lesson? Oh, I see why it's not working.
Yeah.
And now I can move forward with this wisdom and support me in moving toward my desires.
Yeah, not only that too, like in your case, all the old stuff actually gives you a really great foundation to relate to other people in the line of work that you do.
100%. Well, and so many times, like, I was going through this massive, I don't know, like, ego death 47. And, like, literally, it was on my back patio watching all my birds. I'm like, a bird lady.
Nice.
She's like, oh, that's weird.
It's nice. There's a store called Wild Birds Unlimited. Have you been?
I have a membership. Are you kidding? Have I been?
Wow.
I get 10% cool. off my bird feed every time I go.
I think I've ever really, oh, great.
Come to my house. You'll get it.
Okay.
You will. Okay. I tell people and they're like, that's really weird. And they come over and they're like, oh,
are birds your spirit animal? Or?
No. They're just like, our backyard is really lush. And my dad was like, my grandfather, he passed away when I was 3. We used to watch cardinals and feed the cardinals. Aww. And so there's just something really serene. And we've got like literally a bird sanctuary in my backyard.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's so peaceful. So anytime that I'm like feeling uneasy, I just go sit in my backyard, get in I got a bird book, yeah.
Yeah.
And I just watch them. Okay. You know, there's hummingbirds fly all around you. It's really beautiful. You're invited.
Okay. Thank you. I want to come.
So I was out there in my little bird sanctuary and doing all these new things in my business, right? This was about a year ago, and they're not working, right? I'm like, what the hell? This used to work. Okay. Why are these things not working, uh-huh. right? My revenue is dipping a little bit, which I don't make anything mean. It's just less than it was, right? And it's a reflection of what's going on. So I sit there and I'm like, what's going on? And the message that came through was, you're meant to do this work with money. But if your ego is attached to any part of money, needing it, needing to be seen because of it. Like if you have an egoic attachment to money, you can't do your soul's work because you're tainting the purity of what this message is.
Wow.
And it was like, the message was, you're about to go through a really hard time because I need to strip your identity away from any aspect that it has to do with money. Mm-hmm. And you also need to know the pain, because so many people are going to be coming to you with this pain. And, you know, of course, I don't know about you, but when I get messages, I'm pretty stubborn. And I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. Like, I mm-hmm. want this, right? But I went through like a massive reignition and an awakening and a massive healing and a lot of fear and scarcity and banging my head against a wall, because it was like, yes, we can be good teachers, but we can be so much better leaders when we have this experience and the pain mm-hmm. that we've come out of it on the other side. Mm-hmm. And so again, right, when you ask that reconcile, it's like, I had to know that that was happening for me and that I might not immediately get to my desires, but though that wisdom is supporting me.
Yeah.
And then being able to lead a different movement.
Did you have a point where you were like, I got it?
Yeah.
Like, let's wrap it up. I've got it. I'm good. Like, I'm ready to proceed.
Yeah.
And then it was I'm like, I got it. I'm ready. I got it.
Yeah.
Like, I really do feel like, I got it. I got the message, because I feel like this was all, I've had moments where I've talked to Justin about that. I'm like, mm-hmm. we've been having these lessons for a reason, so we can, you know, relate more fully to people mm-hmm. and understand better. And I'm like, that's cool. Yeah. I got that. Like, that's awesome.
Yep.
And now I'm ready to move out of that. Like, I got it.
Yep. Yeah.
Are we allowed to say that? Like, I think we are. I think so too.
For sure. It's like, I'm done with this fatherhood wound. I'm done with, I'm done with this.
Like,
right?
I'm ready. Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, okay, have I really extracted the lessons and let it be a part of my being?
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, have I like the sisterhood?
Because if you're
wound.
Mad about it or something, then I suppose.
Yeah. Then we're still holding something.
Yeah.
There,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know about you, but I'm assuming that the sisterhood wound is a wound that so many of us have had to heal. And you're like, okay, I've healed the sisterhood wound. And then like something happens with that one good friend. And you're like, are you serious? I thought I was done with this.
Yeah, totally.
And it's like,
I just interviewed an inner child expert and I ended up finding an actual sister wound. And I was like, holy shit, a lot makes sense now. And I was like, oh, what do I do with this information?
Are we really done? Can I please bring me nice people?
I know, right? So anyway, you know, like something comes up and you're like, I thought I learned this lesson. Right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But you're like, this is an opportunity for me to learn it on a deeper level.
Cool.
To make it a part of my being, make it a part of my body so that I now can move forward. And then when I'm in that place, I always will bring a playful curiosity. instead of, all right, listen, guys, I'm done, moving on, bring me the damn money because I'm over this. Instead, it's like, okay, so I've gone through some pain here. How good can it get on the other side? Like, how beautiful can it be to move through this and end up on the other side?
Mm-hmm.
Like, show me how good it can be on the other side of this.
Can it be as simple as asking those questions sometimes?
I think it can.
I think so too.
Yes.
That's why I asked that.
Yes.
Yes.
But instead of how good can it get, show me what's on the other side, it's like, God, I'm here. I thought I was over it, right? And then it's like, what is that doing? It's sending those vibrations of fear, of anger, of shame, of, oh shit, aren't we done yet?
And it's putting up that block, like you were saying.
100%.
You know, it's putting up the umbrella. I just attended Abraham Hicks the other day. And like she came through Austin.
I know, I saw Pat. Yeah. Was like, we should go, but my mom was here.
You know what?
She does not.
If you've listened to Abraham Hicks at all, let me just say this for everybody, you already know.
Okay.
Like it's basically like if you listen to the podcast, it's people coming. Like it was cool to be there, but I was like, oh, I already, like I literally, it was like a review.
For sure.
I've read, you know, Asking It Is Given, whatever.
Right.
And so you got it. But a guy did ask about money, but it was the same thing. It was like, what you're saying is what they say. Mm-hmm. Like just then you're not living in that flow and allowing state.
For sure.
You're cutting it off.
But so often we want to jump, right? From, we know that everything is an energy. We know that we admit an energy and we attract an energy, mm-hmm. right? And so often the energies of money is shame, guilt, fear, right? We're looking at like 100 hertz and below, which is very
totally.
Dense.
Right.
You're not going to attract a lot of money into our mm-hmm. lives, right? And so often we want to jump up to abundance. Right? Like, well, I'm $1 million a day. You know, like we want to jump up there. But we often forget that the middle, the stopping is mm-hmm. the acceptance, right? It's like, okay, I accept that this is my current reality and I can make peace with this as my current reality, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone knows laws of attraction, the law of attraction, but often people don't realize that there's a little aspect of the law of attraction, which is the present is always perfect. So the present is good. I accept that this is my reality. I'm okay with this being my reality. I'm grateful that this is my reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that acceptance and gratitude, that builds the foundations for the abundance to be able to become your truth. But often we're like, okay, skip that. Let me go up to here. Skip the boring stuff, right? Let me go. Let me just jump on up to here. Let me go from zero mm-hmm. to 120, right? But it's like, what about 60?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so when we're at that place, we often don't realize that even the hurts of acceptance, right, and willingness, that's a hell of a lot higher than fear and shame.
Yeah.
By like 100 or a couple hundred.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we build the foundation of, okay, now that I'm accepting, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm set. I'm safe. I'm okay. I'm grateful for my current reality. Then we've built the foundations for being able to exist in these higher vibrations that do attract money into our lives.
Yeah. Do you see a lot of people that are wanting to do the money work, but maybe aren't on the self-care train and you have to mm-hmm. encourage them because how much of a piece of self-care is that in mm-hmm. this picture?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Because there's often people don't understand the correlation.
That's what I want you to explain.
Right. Well, we often don't understand why self-care is even a thing.
Yeah.
But what is self-care? It's truly developing a strong, loving relationship with ourselves.
Yeah.
And if we know that we are the creators of our reality, and we know as above, so below, as within, so without, then this becomes our number one job, mm-hmm. right? I always say my energy and my happiness is my number one job. Now, some people cue the, oh God, that's selfish. That's a deep condition.
Yeah, whatever.
Right?
Get on board.
Right? But it's like,
that's what I say.
Right?
I mean, everybody listening to this is on board with us. Okay. Like, yeah.
We've already weeded those people out. It's okay. But we have to. Like, we are the conscious creators of a reality. So you have to self-care.
Yeah.
Self-care is self-love.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and we haven't really, I meant that joking too, because we have old stories within us 100%. That are like, going to say that's selfish, you know.
Well, especially as women.
Yeah,
like because we're
moms,
taught
whatever.
Right, mm-hmm. I'm not a mom yet, but I look at my husband, who is the most loving, supportive, caring, and does all of this work alongside me. But there were old stories sometimes where I'm like, God, he cooks me lunch and dinner every single day. Like, oh God, maybe I should mm-hmm. do this for him, right? And I do things for him, of course, because it's an expression of my love. But I almost felt the guilt of receiving mm-hmm. so much. And I'm like, okay, there's a block in my life that also blocks money. Because if we feel guilty for just receiving, then how the hell are you going to receive massive amounts of money?
I was just reading something about receiving. What book was it in? I can't remember. I read like 5 books a day.
I'm the same. They're like all over the place.
Yeah, I have a stack. It might have been A Course in Miracles, I think. I'm not reading A Course in Miracles.
I was like, that's impressive.
I'm reading A Course in Miracles Made Easy. It's like a short
book. I need that.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the whole thing, someone recommended it once and I was like, what?
Same.
Yeah. It's dense.
Yes. And you can't underline because the pages are like toilet
made of tissue paper.
Yes,
yeah. Real weird. It's like a Bible, sort of, but not. Anyway, though, it was talking about viewing receiving as a gift that you're giving.
Mm-hmm.
So I am giving, if you give me something, then by my receiving, I'm actually giving you the gift of me receiving.
Literally.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I was like, ooh, that's a pretty deep way to frame
it,
you know?
Yeah, that concept hit me. Have you been to a Dr. Joe Dispenza retreat?
I have not, but I'm very familiar with his work and books.
So there's this one day, I think it's day 3 or 4, where there's somebody that needs to be healed. So they have an illness of some sort and we don't know what it is, right? And they lay on the ground and he takes you through this whole meditation of opening up your channel and truly being able to let life force energy come through you. And there's about 8 people, 4 on each side. And then we're doing a healing. And essentially you're in a deep meditative state and you can literally feel the energy coming down and through your heart and out. And it's like your hands, I mean, it was the most life-changing experience I've ever received in my entire life because it had nothing to do with me.
Cool.
Me being the healer for this person who has whatever disease, but I literally was just the conduit. I was just the channel.
I'm a Reiki master and it's the same thing.
100%. So then you feel this so much. Mm-hmm. And so it was complete. My husband and I sat next to each other and I looked at him and I looked at this woman on the ground and she's in tears. The amount of love that she just received was in tears. And I looked at my husband and I broke down and cried harder than I've cried in a really long time. And he's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I'm like, I've never felt to just give and to feel how good it feels just to give. And I'm like, where are we not doing this in our lives? Because that moment changed my entire life.
Right.
And so it's like, where are we not doing that? It's like when we are given, when we're receiving money, it's like, feel how good that gets to feel just to receive. And you get to give that love and appreciation back to the universe.
And we create this story as if we owe something or as if, which I don't give in a way where I'm bitter, you know? And yet I'm like, oh, they're giving to me. So, you know, am I worthy? And, you know, creating a story around like, oh gosh, she probably doesn't really want to give this, which of course,
She wouldn't have given it.
I don't give things if I don't want to give them.
100%. Right. Like, God, do I need to take her to dinner?
Yeah. I don't apply that same standard to others, which is a fundamental thing that I've had to pay attention to. Like, okay, if I'm not feeling that way, why am I assuming other people do? Like,
for sure.
Quit that.
Yeah. But it's so common.
Yeah.
You know, even think about, you know, I always use this example of like, if somebody, let's say that your spouse is giving you a massage and then you feel the need that you're going to have to do something. You're going to have sex. You're going to have to do something because you're receiving this massage. It's literally deeply ingrained in us.
I do it. I do exactly that.
Right.
What you just said.
I'm like, God, I can't receive this. I'm going to have to give me a blowjob.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even worth it. I don't want to get a massage. Fuck the knot in my shoulder. I don't even need it. I'll go pay for someone to give me a massage and I'll tip them 20%. You know?
Yes.
But it's like, I had to work through that, right? Where I was like, what are you expecting? And he's
like,
nothing.
I know.
You know, and so it's beautiful for us to be able to recognize it. Oh, wow, this is happening. Okay, let me work through this. Let me look at this. Let me be willing to look at this. And then we start to realize, oh, this is just a story. Yeah, give me a massage.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is a story.
Yep.
I don't know anything. I can just receive. And once again, with money, let's take it back to money. Then like that goes into like, oh, I should be working harder. I should be. So what happened with you? You know, you're getting to that place of like, do I need to create new offers? This isn't working. That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. So when that place, when I was hitting a wall over and over and over and over and over again, that was a lot of different story, a lot of different things that were coming up. But years ago when I started to do this deep money work, I had this feeling like I needed to over deliver. Feeling like I needed to give the bonuses.
I am so familiar with this.
Right?
And I think this is a common thing. Like,
100%. Because look at how we were raised. Like, okay, well, you're given this. Well, I need to give you a compliment back, right? Because I just can't receive it. And so we go through this in business of, okay, well, I had this idea for this epic program, this epic experience in a retreat and blah, 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 blah. The price is this. Oh, God. Can I really receive that for this?
Yeah.
Is that an equal exchange? Okay, well, no. So then I'll give a bonus and I'll give a bonus and I'll give a bonus. And then guess what you're doing? You're diluting the purity of what the offer is because you think that you need to prove and prove and prove. And people feel that energy.
Ooh.
And is that energy attractive?
Mm-mm.
It's like, I don't know. It's repelling. I recently saw somebody.
It's like that desperation.
Right. Online. And she was selling this thing and she was throwing in all these bonuses. And I was just sitting there. I wasn't even listening to her. I was just watching her and I was feeling into the energy. And I was like, wow, it's, I can tell it's not working. And then like days later, it's like, she's adding in more things and she cut the price. And I'm like, it's because that energy, it repels people.
Mm-hmm.
And we know it doesn't feel good.
Mm-mm.
Right. And so it's like this coming home to this work that I'm doing in this world. I'm meant to receive massive amounts of money as a result.
Okay.
I'm meant to. I was born to. And you want to look at like the law of compensation.
Mm-hmm.
Epic book, Miriam Williamson, The Law of Divine Compensation.
I have not read it.
Such a good book.
Okay.
And it's a universal law.
I add it to my stack.
I'm going to.
Yep.
Book number six. Yeah. It's a really small book. And so you can get through it in like a couple hours. It's. Yeah,
I like to drag them out.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
I mean,
I just finished The Wedge with and interviewed Scott Carney, and Justin was like, I feel like you've been reading that for a year. And I was like, maybe longer.
That was Ask and It's Given. I read it for about 2 years.
For sure.
Yep.
And
like,
then you start over.
Bring it with me, like on the airplane. I'm like, I'm not going to touch that.
Dude,
you know?
Happy Pocket Full of Money. I'm on like my eighth time.
I haven't read that one.
Well,
yeah.
I'm going to give you a copy.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. I'll add it to my stack and I'll tell you in 2 years how it was.
Perfect. It's a date.
It's a date.
So how do we get on this? Oh, the book you were recommending.
Okay. Yeah. So The Law of Compensation, when I read this book, it like blew my mind because it states that essentially the extent in which we give to the world and our uniqueness in giving it, because we all have our uniqueness. We've got our stories and our experiences,
totally.
Right?
Yep.
That we have to be paid in direct compensation to that.
Okay.
So you look, and it might not be instant, and this is what we have to get over as humans, but she talks about this, I think it was her in this book that she wrote this book and she did all these seminars and everything and she got paid like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But then like years later, she got this massive book deal for, you know, probably at the time, hundreds of thousands, now probably would be millions of dollars. And she's like, oh, it's because for years I literally was essentially depositing my energy into this universal bank. And then I was receiving it as a result.
Gotcha.
And you look at, you said the $60 million podcast, right? We look at these couple people who had these massive deals with Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for years, they didn't know that they were going to get a $60 million deal.
No.
And then all of a sudden, law of compensation, like, oh.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God.
Literally,
thank God.
That makes me really happy to hear.
Right? But what did they do? They were just taking this inspired action that felt good.
That's okay. Good. Glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's the thing. You've got to keep feeling good in it.
I
always think about the like story where the actor doesn't give up. Well, it's because they love it, you know? There's people that give up because they're not making it, but it's like you do it because you love it, you know? And then they finally do. That's kind of like the law you're talking about. And I think that, you know, like let's say podcasting and all the voice work I do and that kind of stuff, like that, I've gotten a message that that's my calling.
Yes.
I'm really good at it.
Yeah.
Like I wrap up so many of these and afterward I can't, like almost every person goes, you're so good at this. And I'm like, no, you have to say that. but they do. And I go, thank you. And I really receive that because I'm like, I know basically. And I'm like, so I love it so much. And I think that a lot of people have a question like I asked, like if you do what you love, money will follow. Like that's kind of a really different version of saying compensation, law of compensation. But, you know, you can get discouraged. Like,
For sure.
Is this not the path I'm supposed to take? Because there is a reality that I do have to pay my bills.
Right.
And so then you just start to go, gosh, okay, Like, where is this line where you surrender to, like, just lead me? Like, I found myself just like, okay, like, just lead me. Like, I love doing this. I'm going to keep doing this. But, like, literally just lead me to whatever it is I'm supposed to do, because I really do.
Yeah.
Really do have to pay my rent.
For sure. For sure. Like, absolutely.
You know, so.
But it's like, how can we surrender even more and really truly believe that and trust that we are supported?
Okay.
Right?
And then also, I think I'm in that moment. Right
yes.
Now.
Like, and then like when the money comes in, I can trust myself that I'm going to be smart with it and that I'm not just going to go mess it up and I'm going to set myself up for success in the human.
Love it.
Right. But it is like, I mean, Abraham talks about it all the time. I remember when I first got into Abraham years and years and years ago, I was like, this is some bullshit. Cause she's like, just follow what makes you happy. And I'm like, yeah, you don't understand. I've got a lot of student loans. You know, like I've got.
You did.
Oh my God. I had student loans, maxed out credit cards. I mean, there was a time that I had to have been close to $90,000 in debt because I had.
Were you like, I'm going to get into telling people about money and where's your friends and family?
Start there. Okay. It did not start there. That would have been like, if people have imposter syndrome, that would have just been imposter.
It'd be a pretty good story.
No, I started off a completely different place in business. I started helping women lose weight and find power and sovereignty in their body and heal their relationship with food because I had an eating disorder that I overcame all and I hated my body and I was in the gym 24/7. Like, my eating disorder started my freshman year of college. No, my sophomore year, because my freshman year I gained 30 pounds my freshman year of college and lasted for about 5.5 or 6 years. And it wasn't until I actually found a love for myself that I could go to the gym because I love to, that I didn't binge on carbs because I actually learned, oh, this is a trauma response. That's why I go to sugar at night, because I'm trying to numb myself.
Yep.
And I started losing all this weight and I was doing CrossFit at the time and all these women at the gym kept coming up to me and say, can you coach me? Can you help me? I didn't know what a coach was. Mm-hmm. And ended up walking into the kitchen one day, it's 2018. I looked at my husband, he's cooking dinner or lunch or whatever. And I go, hey, I think I need to start a business. And he was like, okay, why? I'm like, well, people are paying me on Venmo. And he's like, well, for what? And I'm like, to help them love themselves and find like love in their body and help them lose weight. And then I ended up getting certified in understanding the body and science and nutrition all while I was teaching. And that's how it started. And then it started to morph into what I really was doing was not weight loss. It was love. And my business was just exploding all during COVID. My business was just like, and all of my friends that I'd met in masterminds and programs were like, what are you doing? Can you help me? And I always knew that there was something more. And money, I just, when I became an entrepreneur, I very quickly realized I was a basket case. And I was like, if I really want to change my reality with money, I've got to change within. So I just became obsessed with looking within and healing with money. And then when COVID hit, I had all these people that were like, please help me. And so I closed my business to that and then started doing more so like business structure work. And then through multiple, you know, rounds of more and more and more of my spiritual awakening and healing and connecting and doing all of this work and realizing what I really was doing all of this time. That's how I got into what I did now. And so it's been a journey, but it did not start here.
No, I love it. That was great. That was perfect. That was a perfect answer because then you are surrendering, but you're almost looking at the bigger picture. 100%. Like, what am I doing? You know? 100%.
Yeah.
Which is that soul-led,
for sure,
soul leading thing, I think, right?
Yeah. Well, and it's aligning to a context that's so much greater than ourselves, right? This isn't like women being able to go buy Louis Vuitton bags. If you want to buy a Louis Vuitton bag, I'm all for it. I've got one. They're fun, right? But this is women recognizing that we literally came here to change the world. Everyone on this planet, we came here with our unique experiences to learn from, to heal, to grow, to evolve, and then to change the world. Like, I really believed that when I was a teacher. I believed it when I was training to become a principal and getting all those degrees. Like, I really believed that we came here to be the change that we wanted to see in the world. It just was always ingrained in me. And so then I was told stories my whole life that you can't help people and make money. And I was like, well, that's bullshit. I want both. I want to live a good life. I want to be able to go out to dinner. We could never go out to dinner as kids. I wanted to go on vacation. You know, and then when I found this world of entrepreneurship, I'm like, wait, it is all possible, right? So it's like, my work isn't helping people make money. My work is helping people set themselves free and realize that when we do our soul-led work and follow the good, find the richness within and really heal ourselves of all of this stuff. Like, this is the most epic, abundant world. And then what does it look like in for our children, for our children's children, when everyone knows their truth and their sovereignty and this power? Like, what does this world look like?
Yeah.
It doesn't look like sex trafficking because these poor women need to sell their bodies. Mm-mm. It doesn't look like, you know, women going through abusive relationships that they stay in because the man holds the money and they don't know that they, like, it doesn't look like that anymore. Mm-hmm. It looks completely different. It's power and it's sovereignty, right? So it's like that context just, it pulls me out of any dark day. You know, it pulls me out of any time I hit my head against the wall and I'm like, why the hell is this not working? It's like, it's not about you. It's so much bigger than you. And that context just always is my North Star.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, getting in touch with the bigger picture and the deeper reasons.
Yeah.
And the picture is so much bigger.
So much bigger.
So much bigger.
And we have to allow ourselves to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we have to.
How crucial has plant medicine been for you?
It's been a big part of my journey.
It was for me too.
Yeah.
And I haven't been doing it now, but I definitely, it was like a quick, quick jump or what, quick start or something.
It's funny because when I first started getting into it, I didn't want to talk about it because I didn't want people to think that something outside of themselves held the answer. Yeah. Right? Like, I'll just go take a bunch of mushrooms and then I'm going to see my $1 million plan, right? It's like...
You might.
Right? You do, actually. You do.
Here's the irony.
You do. But like, plant medicine reveals parts of us that need to be looked at, need to be healed. It shows parts of us that we didn't even see because our wounding is keeping us in this illusion.
Yeah.
You know, and so what I don't want people to think is that you have to get into plant medicine. What I would love for people to know is it's a beautiful tool to support you in your healing and elevating your consciousness and, you know, connecting to whatever you believe that you're, that you desire to connect to. It's a beautiful tool.
Agreed. But and think I was just going to say, and plant medicines and beyond, because like the vision that I just talked about, I was in ketamine therapy.
100%. It's that we've got a lot of tools.
Yeah.
Just like EMDR, just like traditional therapy, right? We have so many tools, and plant medicine is a massive tool for us that we have available. And I believe it's divinely given to us, right? There's a reason why mushrooms can grow out of poop. Like, they literally can grow anywhere. I really think God's like, guys, eat them, let's go, meet me, right?
This is a metaphor.
Literally, this is a metaphor. But I think there's a lot of people that go into plant medicine from a place of helplessness, and it's like, I need you to fix me.
Totally.
And it's like, no, you have the power to fix yourself, and plant medicine's going to help you, but you hold the power.
Yeah.
And then the integration, right? So many people just jump from medicine to medicine to medicine, and they forget the most important part, which is the integration, which is the ceremony in and of. I think that's the hardest ceremony that there is.
Can't say it enough times on this show.
Yeah.
Like, I say that all day long.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's been a big part of my journey and a beautiful part, and I'm grateful for it. Mm-hmm. And I also know that when every time I'm in a plant medicine ceremony and something is revealed to me, I then have a big responsibility to integrate it into my life. Cause otherwise it was just a fun time, and I'm all for fun times.
Yeah.
But I use plant medicine as medicine.
Yeah, you know, me too.
Not fun times. I could, but
I find it terrifying.
I know. I was like, it would be really overwhelming.
Yeah. I mean, Justin is an addict and he loves it. He's like, yes, more.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. No, not me. I'm like usually crying beforehand.
Yes.
Out of fear that this is it. I'm going to be sent off to the state hospital and not be able to raise my kids.
Yep.
Anyway, so that hasn't happened. I'm pleased to announce. So, yeah. So I feel like I could keep unpacking this, but I think we got to the point, you know, like look at the bigger picture, remain aware, and start to change.
Yeah.
These, notice them, right? Mm-hmm. And then start to change them.
Mm-hmm. One, it's knowing and holding that belief that you can.
Yeah.
You know?
Holding that belief that you can.
Let that be your North Star.
Okay.
You know, let the faith and the belief and the dream be our North Star.
Other people have done it.
Yeah.
You can too.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what's so cool, right? Because we can be triggered by other people. And it's like, oh, well, must be nice. Right? But it's like, hold on.
Oh, it comes so easy to her.
Right. Right.
Or she married this person, whatever.
For sure. Mm-hmm. She got lucky and she got in at the right time, whatever it is. And it's like, when we really truly realize that social media, we have it at our fingertips whenever we want it, right? It's just showing us different possibilities. It's yeah. like, damn, she did it. That is triggering to me. Okay, I'll work on that trigger. But she did it.
Yeah.
So if she can do it, I can do it.
And usually, actually, too, if I start to think those things yeah. when I'm looking at social media, it's that's my cue. Shut it down.
Yes.
You're entering a negative headspace. Just shut it down. Just do something 100%. Else. Go outside.
Yep.
Like, go feed your tortoise or something. I have a tortoise outside.
I was like, do you really?
Yeah. I'll show him to you. You'll okay. meet him after. Okay. So it seems like there's one other thing. Let me make sure we got to everything that I wanted to. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you really wanted to talk about today?
No.
No?
We nailed
or
it.
Or anything going on with you that like you were feeling right now?
I think the thing that's, you know, along with the conversation and most present when you ask that is that when we're coming up against these blocks and these walls, it's just simply a moment for us to come back into ourselves. You know, like every single thing that these blocks that we come up against, it's just, they're just teachers. And when we can make friends with the failure and when we can look at these blocks and say, you're going to be my greatest teacher, it takes that electric charge out of it.
I love that.
Yeah.
I've been doing like 12 steps in Al-Anon.
Yeah.
And
I love
I'm
Al-Anon.
Still, me too. I'm still in the fourth step. But it's about finding the resentments
yes.
and things that you're resentful for and still carrying around mm-hmm. and not letting go of. And I have noticed that when I find, like, I'll just be driving around or something, something yeah. will come into my head, right? Yeah. Or a song will come on and remind me of something. Now I get excited
yes.
when I think about a resentment
yes.
and I go, oh, I have a new one to write
yes.
down. So this is the same, like it just struck me that maybe like you can go, look, oh, there's another money block.
Yes.
Oh, awesome. I can work through this and like
100%.
And like come back to
yes.
the healthy version or
yes.
something.
Yes. Like, oh, that's a trigger.
Yeah.
Cool. I was just triggered.
Yay. I got
Sweet.
Another one
yes.
that like,
yeah,
you know.
Because on the other side of darkness is always light, right? And what are we doing is that we know this, that the only thing that's true in this world is love, is infinite, abundant love.
Mm-hmm.
And we create these contractions. We create these blocks that stop us from being able to receive the flow of love.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we recognize it, where it's just like, oh, this is just a contraction.
Mm-hmm.
This is literally, and so what is true in this contraction? If we really go deep into the darkness of this contraction, what has to happen? It has to open up and then allow for the love.
Mm-hmm.
So we start looking at these blocks and these struggles and these triggers and these moments of darkness and these resentments. And we're like, oh, because
mm-hmm.
I can be excited because I know that on the other side of this
mm-hmm.
is love, liberation, freedom, joy. And I know that I'm worthy of receiving that. So yeah, let's go. Buckle up. We're going to go through this resentment.
Right.
And see
those
what's
things
there.
Don't run out.
No. Trust me. There's a lot.
There's a lot. And then after that, there's even more.
Yes.
And it's the same thing with money and abundance and all the rest of it.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Last thing I want to ask, like, do you have a lot of go-to daily practices? What are mm-hmm. some of your things that you,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't have to be daily, but regular,
for sure, for sure. So I noticed something about myself a long time ago that it's really hard for me to change what I do in a given day. I like my comfort. I like to sleep in, right? So many people were like, get up early at 5 a.m. and don't do this and do your stuff here. And I was like, I don't want it. This sucks. I don't want to do this. So I brought the money work into the life that I've created that I already love.
Right? Cool.
I love sleeping in and waking up with no alarm. And so when I wake up in the morning and I'm all cozy in bed, I start to bring in these dreams and these desires of who it is that I'm becoming,
mm-hmm.
right? It just naturally infuses in. My husband brings me coffee in bed every morning because he's a saint. And when he brings the coffee in bed, and like, you know, that first like warm cup of, like
mm-hmm.
that first warm
yes,
sip, it just
yes.
feels so good. It's like, how can I anchor in the feeling of gratitude for where it is that I'm currently at, knowing that this gratitude is setting the stage and the foundation for what's in the future.
Love it.
Right? So it's just like these little things. I go for a walk with my dogs and I just mm-hmm. feel good on my walk. We live in a really forested area and it feels good, the sun on my skin. So when I'm walking my dogs, I do one at a time and then drop the one off and then get the other one. And when
oh,
I'm doing
that's
that,
nice.
Well, they're held together. It's not me being kind. It's that they're a pain in the ass and I want to make my life easier. And so I do the one at a time, right? And as I'm on this walk and I'm feeling good, I literally start to dream up my dreams. right? Of like, oh my God, I'm so excited for the day that we have the house in Montana that is our rental property, and but we can go there with all of our friends. And so it's like all these moments throughout the day that I'm already feeling really good, mm-hmm. that I'm reinforcing these belief systems and these thoughts and these manifestations already in there. Because we know that if we have a thought and we have a belief and we pair this really good emotion to it, it's going to come true faster. Mm-hmm. But so often we're working backwards. Okay, well, I want to be abundant. And then I got to be really happy about being abundant, but I don't feel abundant. I don't, right? And so if you just find these moments in your life where you already feel really, really, really good, and you're like, I feel so good. Mm-hmm. Start to bring these money manifestation stories, these practices into those moments instead of I need to carve out time to do my money stories.
Big time. I love that.
Yeah.
That's very Abraham Hicks too. Like, yeah. You know, like finding the spaces.
Yes.
Where you just feel good and then just there.
Yeah,
there
just it is. Do it. Right? It's not like, okay, I've got to jazz myself up for this money story, but I feel like shit. It's like, that's not going to work. You're going to stop doing it after 2 days.
Yeah.
Right? It's like finding those times.
Excellent advice. And then at night, going to bed, do you have certain...
Oh, before I go to sleep, I always play. I've got about 3 core, sometimes more than that, stories that I review in my mind like they're already happening. And it's okay. I actually was just sharing this in a program of mine, and I actually started crying because one of my money stories used to be being able to wake up with no alarm and being able to live with my husband, because my husband, you know, had this job that he traveled all the time.
Wow.
So you literally used to go to bed and just play like what it was going to feel like to wake up in the morning and have the freedom and then be able to spend time with my husband and have the money that he can leave his career, mm-hmm. and we can do this life in this business together. Mm-hmm. And so I do that right before I'm falling asleep. It just feels good. But then I later learned actually the science of it, because we're starting to tap into our theta brainwaves, which is like,
yes,
epic for manifestation. Mm-hmm. So it's just something that just feels
that,
good.
That between sleep and awake state.
Yep. Yeah. So I'll play my money stories, mm-hmm. of seeing the amount, you know, that I desire, seeing what it feels like, or feeling what it feels like to go and buy the things that I want to buy, you know, the house, the investment properties, and just being in those really feel good feelings and stories.
Cool.
While I'm already there. You can also, some people do, I used to do this. I haven't done this in a long time, but I recommend it if people like it, is record yourself.
Done it. Totally.
Right. Yes. And then just listen to it on your walk, in the mm-hmm. car, whatever it is.
Yeah. I did that. And I've talked about this. Like I did it. I call it an audio vision board.
Yes.
And, hadn't listened to it for a long time, and I went back and listened.
Yeah.
And it's like you were saying, yeah. you know, like there's things, there's one that came true, which is I have a nonprofit that helps women around the world with better lives and all that. And I was like, literally had no idea. And then I'm with someone who has a nonprofit, and we're starting a women's initiative underneath it. And I'm like,
so good.
Whoa.
So good.
I was like, babe, this is crazy.
I know. Yeah. Right. You, mm-hmm. you implanted it, and you just move forward with what felt good. And
never
you were
saw
guided.
That coming.
100%.
And I remember recording it being like, this is way
cute.
Down the road.
This
yeah.
is cute.
Yeah, sure. But, you know what? You never know.
It's
so just,
true.
Sky's the limit.
It
Go
is.
For it.
It is. Well, and then even with that, right, it's like you already said that we're both verbal processors. Mm-hmm. We like to talk, mm-hmm. and we feel the energy when we speak, right? It's how we move energy and how we bring things in. So I've got one good friend that we have weekly manifestation where we just chat with each other in Voxer.
Love it.
And it's like, all right, what do you got this week? What do you got this week? And we literally just hold the space and just create a space where all of it can go in there. And then we can check in with each other if we want throughout the week. We usually don't. It's just like this space. And the next week it's like, oh my God, how good is it going to feel when?
I love that.
So it's like, I have like my friend that mm-hmm. we both are in that together. And it's just fun. And I obviously talk to my husband and, you know,
yeah,
throughout
but that's
the time.
Keeping that element of fun. And then yes. that's that feel good energy. And you're getting excited for someone else, which brings you into
yes,
that space.
100%.
You're like, yeah, you can do that.
Yes. It's like, hell yeah, that's exciting.
Gets you related to like, oh, wait, maybe I can do that too.
100%. Yeah. I'm like, okay, yeah. well, when you get that jet, come pick me up, you know, because I helped you with this container.
I mean, I'm listening. That's helping right there.
Exactly.
I love it. Well, okay, let's talk a little bit about how people can find you and yes. work with you if they want to.
Yeah. Instagram's the best place.
I thought so.
Yep, the Jen Kennedy.
And it's the Jen Kennedy. Do people go, the Jen Kennedy?
Oh my God, all the time.
People do it
I
to
want
me.
To change it so bad sometimes.
People do it to me. They're but like, Jen, oh, the real Amy Edwards.
I know.
And I'm like, oh God.
I'm like, listen, guys, Jen Kennedy's a cat lady. And I asked her if I could have the handle. And I'm pretty sure she's dead because she hasn't posted since 2016. So I am
for
the.
Real?
Oh, it's for real. Yeah, I tried. I did. And I was like, Jen.Kennedy, like all the things. I'm like, yeah, I'll be the Jen Kennedy.
Yeah. I know people say it to me and I'm like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, just Yes, I'm going to put that in the show notes. And then you have a lot of cool offers if people hit your link in bio. There's all sorts of things that they can tap into. Yep. And I think, honestly, though, you have a whole like bunch of podcasts that you've been on. So people could easily just go deeper with you in a lot of different ways, I think.
Yeah, and we've got that in the link in my bio, my Instagram. It's like all the podcast features. So
you do. So I think that's a great place to start, too, if people want to.
Absolutely.
And they've been listening to this show, which... Yes. I feel like was a great place to start for sure. So thank you so much.
I'm
just so grateful because this was a conversation that I needed.
Yeah.
Like we were saying when we were setting an intention, it helps us.
Yep.
And you know, anyway.
So true. Comes through for all of us.
It really does. Yeah. So I can't thank you enough for taking the time and showing up in person. And
everything, I loved it.
The energy is so good.
Well, your space
is
epic too.
Thank you so much. It's building. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank
you to everyone who tuned in today. Thank you for being here. This I know is going to pay off for you. No pun intended. Actually, it just came out that way. And you know, I always encourage you at the end of these shows to find someone to share this episode, whatever episode, with, and then have a conversation about it. Mm-hmm. And this is even better because here we ended it with like, find that friend that you're sending a voice memo to on Boxer or on your phone. Mm-hmm. And you can voice your manifestations or voice your desires and listen to theirs and really connect. So maybe you can share this with a friend and start doing that. I'm going to start doing that. I don't even know with who yet, but I'm guessing they're just going to appear in my life. And yeah, I love you so much. Thank you so much for being here. And remember, there's not a one size fits all answer, and you're not doing it wrong. It's just staying aware and keep it simple. It doesn't have to be so complicated. And if you think I'm talking to myself right now, you're right. You're totally right. I mean, I am. And I need to hear all these things just like everybody else. I mean, you know, it's a practice. It's all a practice. It's all a practice, and it's all okay. And the more grace we can give to ourselves and laugh in the moment, the better a space we're going to be in. More of that allowing space. And it's all okay. And just dive in. That's why we're here. Life is going to keep getting better and better all the time, just like Jen said, and just like I said at the beginning. So I love you so much. Thank you for being here. Please do share it with a friend. Rate, review, subscribe, follow Jen, all the things. Follow me, Real Amy Edwards, and go to amyedwards.info for the courses and everything else. I love you so much. Thank you for being here. Till next time.
This has been the Amy Edwards Show from Overcome Studios. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And thank you so much for being here. Sign up for our newsletter at amyedwards.com.